you for downloading this podcast from Victory Outreach Manchester. We pray that this message will bless your life as you listen.
To one. Really blessed to be able to stand here with you all today and to just share a couple of things that God has put on my heart. I want to thank Pastor Paul for giving me the opportunity. It's a privilege to be able to stand here, man. Colossians chapter 1, do you have it? I'm going to read verses 9 to 14, and then we're going to pray, and then we're going to be seated. This is what it says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 to 14. So, we have not stopped praying for you ever since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of His will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. We also pray that you will be strengthened with all His glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking the Father. He has enabled you to share in the inheritance that belongs to His people who live in the light, for He has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His dear Son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. I'm going to preach a message today called A New Adventure. Father, I just want to commit this moment to you. I want to thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are here among us. Would you take control? Would you speak? Would your voice be heard, we pray, in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. You can be seated. A couple of weeks ago, we had our Wednesday night prayer service, and we normally do it online, although we were doing it hybrid that day. We had it in person in the building and also online at the same time. And just to let you know, we're going to be doing that again from this Wednesday. We're going to be in person and online. So if you want to come out this Wednesday and join with us to pray right here in the building, feel free. And if you can't, you can still join us online. But a couple of weeks ago, we were in our prayer service and we were praying, and I really felt this atmosphere. I felt this atmosphere. It was almost like looking out at a snapshot, at a photograph, at a picture. I felt this atmosphere, and my mind went back to adventures, to an adventure that I'd had before. My mind went back to an adventure that I had been on before. And as I stood in this room and looked across and felt the atmosphere, I felt like the Lord dropped it in my heart that we are about to go on a new adventure. It brought me back to an adventure that I had been on before when I first came into Victory Outreach way back in 1994. Can you believe that? Yeah, I'm that old now. Back in 1994, that's when I first walked through the doors of Victory Outreach London. And the atmosphere that I felt in that place was unlike anything I had felt before. There was something happening in that room when I walked in to Victory Outreach Manchester there in London, in 1994. There was an atmosphere. There was a faith in the room. There was a courageous spirit in the room. There were people whose lives were being transformed, and you could feel it in the air. I didn't know what it was. I was just green and I didn't know what was going on, but I could feel it. I could feel that something was happening. And as I stayed faithful week after week and month after month and year after year, I began to see an adventure unfold, and I became part of that adventure, an adventure of the vision that God had called us to, an adventure of what God can do when someone says yes, an adventure of what can take place in a person's life when they surrender to Jesus. I went on that adventure. It was so exciting. It was so like life-changing. We used to do crazy things like going out to the streets and doing street rallies and King's Cross on a Friday night at 11 p.m. or midnight with all these crazy people around us. And I'll be there banging away on my keyboard, singing songs like, I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. I'm so glad Jesus set me free. Singing glory, hallelujah. Jesus set me free. And there'd be some crazy drunk person trying to knock the keyboard over while I'm playing. But the guy would just say, keep going. I'd be okay, keep going then. It was crazy what we were doing. We were having invasions into other cities. We would take a group of crazy people that would come together from the church, people just like you and me, who would go out on invasions. And we called it invasions. We go and invade other cities. We'd go to other cities like, I don't know, like into Edinburgh or into Falkirk or into Dublin. And we'd go into these cities, a bunch of us all on fire. And we'd go and we'd preach the gospel. And you know what? We'd even start a church there once we'd finished. We'd go out and do an invasion and then we'd leave someone behind to start a church. It was crazy what we were doing. And I remember the adventure that we were on. I remember the atmosphere, because it was just normal people. I remember the atmosphere of just normal people just suddenly getting on fire and thinking, can God use me? Can God use me? I remember even just being in a small group, in a life group, and the leader of the life group said that he was praying about a keyboard player. He wanted a keyboard player for his little life group. And then as he was walking around, the Lord spoke to him and said, you already have one. And he's like, I do? And he's thinking, who in my life group plays the keyboard? And it just so happened that day, I was on the sound ministry back in my early days of Victory Outreach. I was in the sound ministry. My responsibility, it wasn't all this fancy engineering. My responsibility was to take the cables and lay them out straight before the service, and then roll the cables back up and put them away after the service. That was my ministry. That was the first thing. And I remember it was after the service, and I was there, and I'd wound the cables up, made sure everything was nice and neat, made sure the stage looked good, and then no one was around because they were all having tea and coffee in the other room. And I thought, I want to go and have a go on that keyboard. I just want to have a go. So no one was there, so I kind of just crept over to the keyboard. And I just started playing away on the keyboard. And as I started playing, my small group leader was literally in that moment walking down the corridor saying, I have one in my group, Lord. I have a keyboard player in my group, Lord. And he walks into the sanctuary, and there I am. So, I'm sorry, it wasn't me. I'm sorry, I was just having a go. I just wanted to try. I was curious. And he was like, no, it's you. You're the one. You're the one. God told me I had a keyboard player in my small group, and it's you. I was like, all right, then here I am. And that was the spirit back then. Here I am. Here I am. It wasn't a spirit of let me hide it. It wasn't a spirit of let's hope no one sees it. It was a spirit of, Lord, use me. Pick me. Can I have a go? Turn to someone and say, can I have a go? That was the spirit. Can I do something? Can I be part? Can I be used? Can I get on board? Can I get in on this? I remember the very first time I ever spoke on the streets. The very first time I ever gave my testimony on the street, man. Something just came over me. I never felt anything like it before in my entire life. I didn't even know what to say at first, but I just got there with the microphone, and then we're right there in the open air, and I'm like, you know what? Didn't know what to say. But then it just started to flow. I just want to let you know that my name's Anthony, and I'm here in Victory Outreach. And I just want to let you know that Jesus has changed my life. That Jesus has done a work inside of my life. That I'm not the same depressed man that I used to be. I'm not the same depressed, discouraged man I used to be. But that something has happened in my life. That God has come in and has changed me and has transformed me. And I've got a passion in my life. And I've got a fire in my life, and I've got a power in my life, and I know that I'm never going to be the same way ever again. And people behind me were like, yeah,
go for it. Yeah, go ahead, Eddie. Go ahead, Eddie.
It was this fire. It was this passion. I remember the first time I saw someone come through the home and get graduated. The first time I saw what it looked like when a drug addict can be completely transformed. I'd never seen it in my entire life. I remember the first time we launched a church out. The first one we launched out was to Dublin, Ireland. And I remember standing there behind the soundboard pretending I knew what I was doing while there was the man and his wife up there on the platform being prayed for and being sent out. And then I remember the first time I went out there and I went on the invasion to Dublin and I was involved and I was seeing the same thing that happened in London happening there in Dublin. And then they sent me to India and then they sent me to Amsterdam and then they sent me here and sent me there. I remember the first time I realized that Victory Outreach wasn't just one church, but that Victory Outreach was about hundreds and hundreds of churches around the whole world where the same thing was happening in every single church. People's lives are being transformed. I remember marriages coming together. I remember children getting saved. I remember seeing people get healed. Remember that Pastor Paul, when there was that time when people's legs were growing back in the service? You remember that? You remember that, Sister Vicky? I was in that Wednesday night's prayer service. And I stood here and I looked out. And it was almost like a taste. It was like a taste in the air that God is going to do it again. That God is going, you see, a generation can be looked at in different ways. I don't see anybody here that's maybe over the age of 80. If you are, then, no, okay. So, if you go back 80 years, none of us were here. It was a different generation. Now we're here. 80 years from now, if the Lord tarries, it'll be someone else. But this is our moment. This is our time. See, some of you still have never seen someone graduate the home. Some of you have never seen the complete transformation of a broken man or broken woman into being a powerful man or woman of God, but it's your turn to see it. Some of you have never seen us launch a church out. You never felt what it feels like when your church has a baby. When your church pushes and out from your church comes another church in another city. You haven't seen it, but this is your chance. This is your turn to see it. Some of you don't know what it feels like to come under the anointing of God. When you feel His anointing all over you and you know without a shadow of a doubt that His power is moving through you as you do what God's called you to do. But this year, this season, some of you are going to feel it. It's your turn. It's your turn to go on a new adventure. And for some of us who have seen it before, we remember it being that we were in the shoes of discovering it. We were in the shoes of seeing it. We went in the shoes of leading it. We were in the shoes of paying the price for it. But it's our turn. It's our turn. Those of us who've been around a while, it's our turn now to pay the price. It's our turn now to be leaders in it. Imagine that, leading in a move of God. God using us to lead in a move of God? Yes, it's a new adventure. It's a new time. And I felt it in my spirit. It's not just your turn to see it. It's your turn to be it. It's your turn to be it. That word adventure, I love the part of that which says venture. The definition of venture is a risky or daring journey or undertaking. A risky or daring journey or undertaking. That's a venture. That's a venture. I believe that we are going to step out as a church into new ventures in this season, into new ventures, into new cities, into new arenas. And some of us are going to be used by God like never before. Just like when Jesus called Peter out onto the water. He called him, yeah, come. And Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Some of us know what it's like, spiritually speaking, to walk on water. And some of us don't. But it's your turn. It's your turn to know what it feels like. What does it feel like when you sense Jesus calling you out of the boat? What does it feel like when you sense Jesus calling you out of the safe? When you sense Jesus calling you out of the comfortable? What does it feel like when you discover that you're able to do what you never thought was possible because Jesus called you and Jesus is empowering you to do it? Some of you are going to feel what that feels like. The spirit of adventure. And in case you didn't know, maybe you're new, but that is the DNA of Victory Outreach. That's what we're about. Way back in the 60s, when God called a man who had been a heroin addict, God saved him, transformed him, turned him around, and God used him, gave him a wife, and God used them together to go to East Los Angeles, to reach out into the ghettos, to do something that had never been done before, to start a church for drug addicts, a church for ex-drug addicts. And they went out there, and they began to minister, and again, and again and again, they saw people in East LA getting saved, getting transformed, their families being put back together, becoming pillars in the church. And then not only did it stay there in LA, this thing that they were leading, which they called Victory Temple at the time, began to spread and began to enlarge, not just to LA, but all over Southern California. And then not just over Southern California, but over all of California. And then not just over California, but over to the East Coast and down into Mexico and then over into Europe. And now we're in all these countries around the world. I remember being in Cape Town. Well, at a Cape Town, at a South Africa conference, and I remember being in an altar call, and I stood at the altar call, and there were about, I don't know, 500 or 600 people, and you could just sense on the people that they were discovering for the first time that what God did through Pastor Sonny and his wife in the 60s in East LA, that God could do it there in Cape Town and in South Africa. Now we don't only have a church in Cape Town. We have a church in Mitchells Plain and a church in Johannesburg and a church in Pretoria. We've got churches all over South Africa now because the people began to realize, can God use me? And there was a day. There was a day when God placed a call upon Pastor Paul and Sister Vicky to go on an adventure. They could have stayed right there in London. They had a place. They had a ministry. It was all good. Family was close. But they felt a call on their heart that God placed a call on them not to stay in London, but to come up here to Manchester and to build the church here in Manchester. And over the past 18 years, look what the Lord has done through the faithfulness of a man and woman who were willing to go on the God adventure. We're not just in Manchester. Now we're also there in Birmingham, and we're also in Liverpool, and we're also in Glasgow, and we're also in Frankfurt. And God did this through the faithfulness of a man and his wife who stayed faithful and went on the adventure. And God is going to do it again. Anyone here has been around a long time? You remember that time that you felt the anointing of God on you in this church? Anyone that's been around here, maybe you were here in the palace or maybe you were here some other time. Remember the time when you began to feel that and there's something that jumped inside your spirit when you began to realize, wow, God can use me. God can use me. Remember that? Do you remember that? I'm telling you that God is going to do it again. Some of you were not here then. Some of you, this is all you've known. You've come here to Vic Church Manchester. You didn't know the full story. You were just looking for a good church. And on me, I just wanted a good church, man. I just wanted a good church. I just wanted to stop being so depressed. I just wanted to smile. I had no idea that God brought me not just into a church, but God brought me into a movement. God brought me into a move of His Holy Spirit. And I looked at myself and I thought, well, I don't know what I could do. I don't know how I could be used. I'm not anything. I'm just some little guy from a council estate in Southeast London. I don't know what I can do. I don't know what part I can play. But I remember when God placed the anointing on my life. I remember when I just began to write little songs that somehow began to get sung all over the world in Victory Outreach. I remember when God first placed this little guy, this little me, on a platform at a world conference with 15,000, 16,000 people and allowed me to lead worship in front of thousands of people from around the whole world. God can use me. God can use me. I'm telling you that we are about to go on a new adventure and that what God has done in the generation before, God is going to do it again. Some of you here have looked down on yourself for a very, very long time. You didn't know that the reason why God brought you to Victory Outreach was so that you could begin to believe that God has a plan for your life, an anointing for your life, a gifting for your life, and no matter how many mistakes you made in the past, God has redeemed you, set you free, healing you. He's going to raise you up. He's going to use your life in a powerful way. It's a new adventure. Can someone say amen? Can someone say amen? That's how it's always been in the Bible. What did God say to Abraham? He said, get out of your father's house to a land I will show you. Adventure. What did God say to Moses? He said, go back to Pharaoh and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. It's an adventure. What did God say to Gideon? God said to Gideon, rise up, mighty man of valor. I'm going to use you to deliver your nation. It was an adventure. What did God say to Andrew and Peter? He said, you've been fishermen of fish, but I'm about to make you fishers of men. What did God say to the disciples? He brought them to him on the mountainside, empowered them, and sent them out two by two to preach the gospel, to cast demons out, and to heal the sick. What did God say to Paul? God said to Paul, listen, you were going in one direction, but I always had you on my mind, Paul. I always have my eye on you, Paul. I know that you were going in one direction, but I'm about to knock you off that horse and take you in a brand new direction because I'm going to use your life as an apostle to the Gentiles. Adventure, 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 adventure. That's what excites me about some of the things I've heard Pastor Paul saying recently. When he says that we want to invest in young people, that excites me. That excites me. Investing in young people. Because I remember I was just a teenager when my journey began. I was just a teenager. And I wasn't a teenager who had it all together. I wasn't the coolest guy. I wasn't at all. I was a little bit of a dweeb, if you're going to be honest about it. God, not when I was 20, not when I was 30, when I was a teenager, God placed a calling, an anointing on my life, and God began to use my life in a way that I never knew. When I wrote that song, here I am, ready and willing. Some of you don't even know it, but when I wrote that song, I was 17 years old. I had no idea that one day that song would be sung
all over the outreach in different languages. I had no idea that people would get saved singing that song, that people would answer the call to ministry singing that song. I was just a 17-year-old who said yes, and it gets me excited when Pastor Paul says he wants to invest in young people, because I believe that what God did before, God is about to do again. I want to let you know this right now, that we're going to see young people rise in this church. 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds who are going to be under the power of the anointing of God are going to shake this nation for the honor and glory of Jesus Christ right here. See, on the outside, some of them might look stony. On the outside, some of them might look hard. Don't watch that. Don't watch that. Deep inside, God is stirring our young people. Deep inside, there are evangelists, and there are missionaries, and there are business people, and there are pastors. Listen, Pastor James, one of our own pastors, he was 16 when he came to Victory Outreach London. He was 16, this lost lad from Scarborough. Jimmy Hunter from Scarborough. Now there he is, master's degree, teaching theology, working in a Bible college, designing theology courses, a pastor, married to a beautiful wife with wonderful children. But it started as a 16-year-old who just said yes to Jesus. And God is going to do it again. It gets me excited when Pastor Paul talks about investing in our children. Out of the mouth of babes, the Bible says, God has ordained praise. Listen, we're not trying to do some cute little kids ministry, some cute little thing for cute little kids to be cute. We believe that God has placed a calling on our children, that He loves them, that He cares about them, that they are a treasure in His eyes, and God can use them. Even at that age, God can use them. He can use them on the playgrounds. He can use them in the classrooms. He can use them in the judo class. He can use them on the football pitch. God can use our children. If we invest in our children, the reason why we're investing is because we believe in who they are and the call that God has placed on them. When Pastor Paul says he wants to invest in our homes, man, that gets me excited. That gets me excited. Listen, when I first met Pastor Paul, he wasn't Pastor Paul, he was Paul. When I first met Pastor Paul, he was so far from being Pastor Paul. He was a man in the home. Can I hear the men's home? Say amen. When I first met Pastor Paul, he was a man in the home. He came in. He already got saved, but he didn't know where he was going. He was disgruntled. He hadn't quite found his vision or his way yet, and he was there in the home. I was a little 17-year-old again, just having a little chat with him. I didn't know what I was chatting about, but I was just talking to him. I had no idea that one day I'd be serving under him. Not just as Paul, but as a regional pastor, pastoring not just one church, but pastoring the churches of the UK and Germany region. That's why, I don't get proud, but you know, you never know who you're talking to when you talk to someone in the home. You don't know. They might look a little lost, and they might look a little tore up sometimes, and they might not look like they know what's going on sometimes. But I tell you something, you don't know. You don't know what calling God has placed on those men in the home. You don't know what calling God has placed on those women in the home. You don't know that one day, maybe the same way that there is a region here, maybe one day one of these men, one of these women will be serving a region in Poland or in Africa or in Asia. Why not? See, some of you look at me funny. You look at me funny because it's like, well, how could that even happen? Listen, you're sitting in it, bruv. Look. You're sitting in it. A man and a woman from the home, drug addicts who God changed, turned around, and raised up. You're sitting in it. Gets me excited. Gets me excited. Because I know some of you right now are looking at me thinking, that guy is kind of getting a bit excited over there. He's shouting at us. And I'm looking back at you, and I'm literally bubbling. Because you stay on this train, baby. You stay in this car. You stay plugged in here. You're going to come on an adventure with us. You're going to come on an adventure with us, man. We're going to reach the world for Jesus, man. We're going to reach the world for Jesus. Authors, rappers, singers, business people, pastors, doctors, evangelists, songwriters, right here, right here, right here. Yes! Listen, the devil tried to stop it. That's why I'm jumping. Because he failed. He failed. And I say that not in my own excitement. I believe what the Bible says. The battle belongs to the Lord. The battle belongs to the Lord. He failed because he wins. Four things real quick. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. Put it up on the screen, please, fantastic team. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9 says this. So we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will. God wants you to know his will, my family. God wants us to know his will. God wants us to know. That's why I'm saying these things here today. This is God's will. This is God's will. This is the vision for us. This is what God is doing with us. And God wants you to know his will, to have complete knowledge of his will. I pray that you would know his will, that you wouldn't be lost. I pray that you wouldn't feel aimless in life. I pray that you wouldn't feel like there's nothing for you. It's not true. God has a plan for your life. Whether it's up on a stage, whether it's behind the scenes, whether everyone sees you doing it, or whether only the Lord sees you, there's a calling on your life. God wants to use you. And that's why number two, we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Did you know that it's possible to know God's will but not know how to do it? To even do what God's calling you to do but do it completely wrong? Did you know that? That's why Paul prayed not only that they would have complete knowledge of his will, but that they would have spiritual wisdom and understanding. I've seen men and women get excited about something God's called them to do and then go off on their own steam, doing it their own way, and it hasn't led anywhere good. There is a way to do God's will, and God wants you to know not only his will, but to know his way. That's part of the power of being in a church. That's part of the power of it. We're able to help one another, disciple one another, teach one another.
to understand not only God's will, but how to do it. Those of us who've been around a long time, we've made some mistakes. You don't have to make some of those same mistakes, man. We're talking about accelerate. You'll be accelerated when you learn from our mistakes. You'll be accelerated when you don't have to go through some of the things that we went through. You'll go through your own stuff instead. You'll be accelerated in the will of God for your life when you have spiritual wisdom and understanding. Number three, it says here in verse 11, we also pray that you will be strengthened with all his glorious power. When God places a vision in your heart, it's not the right size for you. It's God-sized. It's a God-sized vision. It's a God-sized vision. And you cannot do the vision that God's called you to do unless you are strengthened with his power. Oh, some of us who've been around a while, we remember those services, those anointing services where people would come to the altar and we would anoint them with oil and there'd be a flow and an empowerment taking place as people stop walking in the flesh and start walking in the spirit. You can tell when someone's walking in the flesh, man, it ain't the same deal at all. When someone's trying to do something in their own strength, it's not the same deal at all. John chapter 15, verse 5. Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. When you're trying to do God's will, but you're doing it in your own strength, you're not going to see the fruit that God has for you. But when you learn to trust the grace of God, when you learn to trust the power of God, and I think that's one of the things that excites me the most, the idea that even this year, even over these next couple of years, some of the people here in this room are going to experience the power of God like never before. It's not going to be just a word on a page. It's not going to be just something you hear about in a song or someone saying from a pulpit, but you're going to know in your own life what it feels like to walk under the power of God. That excites me. And lastly, number four. It says this in verse 11, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power, so you will have all the endurance and patience you need. May you be filled with joy. I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to say this point because I'm quite a quiet person normally. I'm quite an introverted person. I'm not good at just talking about the weather and the price of frozen shrimp in Aldi. I'm not really good at the whole small talk thing. I like to be quiet, find my own little space. But this jumped out at me. Joy. Joy. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10, it says, the joy of the Lord is your strength. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm not a gamer. My little boy is a gamer. I'm not a gamer, but I've played a few games, Mario Kart and what have you. And when you're playing these games, you'll always see these little ways to get power-ups or to get health. How many know what I'm talking about? To get health or power-ups or stuff like that. You know the joy of the Lord? That's a power up. The joy of the Lord is health. Some of us, maybe it's the pandemic, maybe it's all of this COVID stuff that we've had to go through over the past couple of years, but some of us have learned how to live without joy. Some of us have learned how to live without not just happiness. You know, not that kind of Friday night, Saturday night, woo, happiness that lasts for a bit and is over in the morning. No, joy. The joy of the Holy Spirit. The joy that you could be even in the middle of a dark trial and still have joy. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Some of us have been weak
because we haven't had joy. Some of us have been walking weak because we haven't had joy. It's almost like you've been on the game, playing the game, but going past all the power-ups, going past all the health, and your energy is going lower and lower and lower and lower and lower. But the Bible says the joy of the Lord is your strength. When you allow God to baptize you, to fill you with the joy of the Holy Spirit, it makes you stronger. I'm not just talking about an emotion. I'm not talking about a little high or a little, you know, acting out a little. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about something that's still there on Monday morning. I'm talking about something that's with you throughout the week, that you could be in sickness, that you could be in trial, that you could be surrounded by all kinds of things, but still have a deep joy in your life, a joy unspeakable and full of glory. I believe that joy is a weapon this year. Joy is a weapon this year. Listen, I'm talking about all this stuff that God's laid on our pastors' hearts about reaching Manchester and reaching other people and investing in young people. And you think that's going to be without a battle? There's a battle involved. The enemy doesn't want us to have our young people. The enemy wants our young people. But as for me and my house, man, no, sir. I am claiming and praying my children belong to the Lord. And when I say my children, yeah, I mean my kids. But what about our kids, man? What about the kids of Victory Outreach Manchester? What about the kids of our church? They don't belong to the enemy. They belong to the Lord. God is going to use them in a powerful way. And there might be a battle to fight, man. There might be spirits and demons to fight. But one thing I know, the battle belongs to the Lord. And in the battle, the joy of the Lord is my strength. This year, some of you are going to have to learn how to dance. Don't look at me, Pastor Anthony. Don't look at me. I'm an introvert. I don't know how to dance. Some of you are going to have to learn how to dance this year. Some of you are going to have to learn how to clap your hands this year. I don't clap my hands, these crazy people. I don't clap. Some of you are going to have to learn how to clap this year. I tell you, when you clap, you know what I tell people when I'm teaching them about clapping? You're not clapping to say, oh, this is a nice moment. That's not what you're doing. Every time you're clapping your hands to the Lord, it is like not only a blessing to God, but it is also a weapon in the face of the enemy. When you clap, you are declaring that victory belongs to the Lord. Not depression, not any of those other spirits. The Lord, you are making a declaration. When you clap unto the Lord, you are saying, this moment belongs to God. These hands belong to God. My life belongs to God. And God, you are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy. You are worthy of it all. Some of you are going to have to learn how to shout this year. I don't shout in church. How dare you tell me to shout in church? Listen, I'll tell you something, man. There was a time in the Old Testament when God called some people to march around a city. He said, march around in silence 6 times. 6 times in silence. So yeah, there's a time for silence. Shh. That was it. And then the seventh time he said, walk around that city the seventh time, and when the trumpet starts sounding, you better shout. And the walls came tumbling down. I can see it happening this year as the worship team comes back to the platform. Come back to the worship. Come back on the platform. Musicians, singers, come back on the platform. Come back. This year is going to be a breakthrough. It's going to be a breakthrough. It's going to be a breakthrough in praise. It's going to be a breakthrough in worship. It's going to be a breakthrough in giving. Listen, I remember when I used to just hear people say, yeah, I gave my tithe and then I bought a house. And I'd be like, how did that happen? how did that happen? Some of you haven't seen yet the blessing that God places on your life when you give faithfully, when you give spiritually, when you give according to what God has laid on your heart to give. You haven't yet understood or experienced how much God can bless not only through you, but to you. And this year, you're going to get a breakthrough. You're going to break through in giving. You're going to like stop holding it so tight and you're going to say, okay, God, I trust you. And you're going to get a blessing this year and you're going to know why. God's going to say, didn't I tell you to trust me? Didn't I tell you to trust me? Some of you this year, you're going to get a healing this year. Maybe you were waiting for your healing before you stepped out. And God says to you, no, I'm going to heal you as you step out. I'm going to heal you as you obey. I'm going to heal you as you trust me. Don't wait until you're healed. Just trust me. Obey. Go. And I'm going to heal you as you go. As you stand to your feet, I want to say something, church. This church has only been here 18 years. So 20 years ago, none of us were here. 20 years ago, none of us were here. For some of us, all the healings, the miracles, the breakthroughs that took place in this church belonged to a previous generation. But I say to you that God is about to take us on a new adventure. And the healings we experience this time, the breakthroughs we experience this time, the anointing we experience this time, it's for you. This time, it's for you. Hallelujah. 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 Can someone just say, Lord, here I am, pick me. Here I am, here I am, here I am, here I am. Lord, count me in, count me in. Someone say it, someone say it. Someone say it, count me in, count me in. Use me, Lord, use me, use me, use me, God. Count me in.
Victory Outreach Manchester is a family in the city, and we are here for you. Visit us every Sunday in person at the church building or live on Facebook and YouTube at 10 a.m. Go to our website, vomanchester.org.uk, for more information.